קודם כל אני בטוח בשם שתקבלו דבר מאדוננו. פפיתוסי מי, אותי לימססתתי פרטו קיריו. And I believe that you people are going to receive something from the Lord this morning, and I know it's not because of me. And that just gives me a good feeling. If you'd open your Bibles to James 2, we'll start with some readings. I'd like to say a brief prayer. Lord, let your words sink into our hearts. We're yours, in Jesus' name, amen. My brothers, do not show partiality as you hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man with gold rings, gold rings and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and you pay attention to the one who wears fine clothing and say, "Have a seat here, please," while you say to the poor man, "Stand there," or "Sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? This is talking about a kind of respect. People have respect for the rich and the powerful. There's a natural respect. And James warns us against this kind of natural respect that human society develops. I'd like to jump ahead to another kind of respect that comes in James chapter 3. It's a spiritual respect, still for people. James 3, verse 9, and we'll read through 12 because there's some good words in there. With it, he's talking about the tongue. He's talking about how people talk to each other and talk about other people and all sorts of things. With the tongue, we bless the Lord and the Father. And with it, we curse men who are made in the likeness of God. With the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening fresh water and brackish? Can a fig tree, my brethren, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. And what I wanted to underline was this idea that for James, he talks about mistreating others, even though they're made in the image of God. And so there is a respect that we can have for, we should have for every person, because we all bear the image of God. And it doesn't matter if we're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if we have gold rings on our fingers. I'm going to leave mine on. Is that okay? Yeah, okay. Because it isn't necessarily a sin to have a gold ring on your finger. It's a sin to treat wealth with excess respect and a non-ethical respect. But we need to have a respect for everyone who bears the image of God. Now, I'm a little bit speaking to myself Some of you, well, I appreciate the birthday greeting and the respect that you showed your elders. And I meant that when it was going to undermine the message, because some people might have said, oh no, that hippie preacher is going to get up there again. Because I was raised, my teenage years were in the 60s. And those of you that didn't live in the 60s, blessed are you. But for those of you that did live through the 60s, one of the sad things was that people learned disrespect of other people. You remember hearing maybe about anyone over 30, don't trust them. Well, how do you honor your elders if you're going to diss anybody over 30 years old? Your elders become, what, 25? Well, that whole generation has grown up. And did Paul McCartney hit 64 yet? Yeah, he did. He must have about a year ago or so. So that generation has grown up. And in a humility and in an unworthiness, I too have grown up. And now I have white hair. And I've even been given respect that in the 60s I didn't give. It's almost not fair. But the Lord has had to work in me over the years as well and has had to teach me. And that whole generation, I think, had to learn some things that were missing. There were some natural kinds of affection that were missing from that generation because of the craziness that went on in the 60s. So that's a little bit of the background. And I still learn, and the Lord still speaks to me sometimes about the outworking of what He's trying to do with me and in me. There's always a problem of relating one to another, and the Lord is always speaking. There are things that happen. And there are new areas where we learn respect. There are people. I mean, sometimes people do stupid things and you can't respect the sin or the folly. But sometimes there are things going on that are behind and around that sin and folly that we miss, and we might end up losing respect for that person. There are problems of mutual respect sometimes that pop up where you don't expect them. In this city, we get to relearn and redeal with the problem of respect of Jew and Gentile. And it isn't just one side or the other that is not respecting. There are actually bizarre kinds of double inversions of the disrespect. In other words, you can get Gentiles that don't respect other Gentiles because they're Gentiles. That's crazy, I know, but or you get Jews who don't respect other Jews because they're Jewish. That's crazy too. And of course there's the old enmity of people not mixing with each other. And some of you that have lived here in this land a long time may have sometimes felt excluded, where, you know, your neighbors won't come in and have dinner with you. And how does that make you feel? And what kind of division is there? But in the church, do we have an excess respect or a disrespect one for the other between Jew and Gentile? I don't feel that as much here in this Narcisse group, but it's there. It's even in North America. when you go and visit churches, you'll sometimes you'll go to messianic groups and you find strange currents. But you know, there are other ways of where God wants to deal with us in respect. What about men and women? Do we really respect men and women? The Lord cleans things out from us where we don't realize we don't have respect, and we don't understand sometimes. But what if my daughter were up here speaking to you right now? Would you feel comfortable? Probably most of you would, but if you wouldn't feel comfortable, is that good? Do we honor each other? And you know, there's again this process of overcorrective. Do we sometimes dishonor? I mean, there's places I could probably get up and speak, and they say, "You're a white European male. Why should we listen to you?" A kind of a backlash disrespect. It happens. And then we mentioned the respect of rich and poor, or the disrespect of rich and poor that James started talking about as we were reading from chapter 2. This whole realm of our attitude and how we relate to one another, it also affects not just a division, Jew and Gentile, male and female, rich and poor, God and man. Do we have a respect as men? Do we have a respect for God? And you say, respect, is that quite the right word? Well, I'll put it in other words, because the Bible has another word for respect of God. It's called the fear of the Lord. Do we have a fear of the Lord? Do we desire to do His will? And what is His will? What is His will for us? And I can't answer that for you, but it's all tied up in this idea of honor for whom God expects us to honor. In the Ten Commandments it says, honor your father and mother. And of course, all through the Scriptures, it says to fear the Lord. And then, if we fear the Lord, then we also will honor those that carry the Lord's image. Well, part of what got me on this whole question of honor is related to my own work, my own profession, I guess. We teach people biblical languages. In the summer, we have a program. Now it has both Hebrew for the Hebrew Bible and Greek for the Greek New Testament. And I was thinking some time ago about honor and honoring the Word, honoring God's Word. If we have the fear of the Lord, we will honor God's Word. And how do we honor God's Word? Well, we can honor God's Word by doing it. And we also honor God's Word by study and by giving it the kind of respect, giving it the place that it deserves in our life. I can share a couple items. One is our daughter, Sharon, had studied for many years at Hebrew University. And while she was studying there, she's actually planning to come back this summer to continue studying there. She's done 2 degrees. When she was studying at Hebrew University, she sometimes had good Christian friends that would say, "Why are you doing that? You're studying," well, they would say just, "You're studying in the world. You're studying in a place where there's unbelievers." But she said, But we're studying history and archaeology, and we're learning about what the text says. And because of the studies, and because of very carefully going through the studies, I end up with greater respect for the Word. I'm letting God's Word, piece by piece, speak to me. And instead of learning a disrespect for the Word, she was learning to respect the Bible. And she eventually started to return the question, you know, how can you not want to study the Bible at that level? If we believe this is God's Word, how can we not want to know everything we can about it? Why would we shut ourselves off from some of the data? And yes, the Holy Spirit speaks to us, but how are we going to treat the Bible? And this, we're moving into the last stage of these words this morning, and it's designed for students, and there's a lot of students out there, and there are a lot of students that are Bible students that aren't necessarily enrolled in classes. I hope it's most of us are students of the Bible. And I was thinking about how do Christians honor their word in comparison to how other people honor their scriptures? And by others, I'm thinking of other religions. Within the Christian culture, within the Jewish culture, within the Muslim culture, how do we honor our scriptures? And I wrote a parable about a year ago, and it goes something like this. There was a Muslim scholar, what says, who honors their scriptures? A parable. To what may this be compared? To a man who's a Muslim scholar from Indonesia, and he travels to Cairo, and he meets a Muslim scholar, a Frenchman, comes down from Paris. They meet in Cairo, and they speak to each other in Arabic. That's language of the Quran, language of their scriptures, a shared language. Then, at another time, a Jewish scholar from Moscow travels to Athens, and he meets another Jewish scholar who's from Argentina in Athens, and they're able to communicate in the language of their scriptures also, and they speak to each other in Hebrew. Well, another time, another place, a good Christian evangelical scholar from Ciudad de Mexico travels to Jerusalem and meets a nice British scholar, Christian, in Jerusalem. But they don't speak in Hebrew, and they don't speak in Greek, because they can't. So which of these groups is giving more honor to their scripture? And you may think I'm preaching to you from up on high, but I'm actually down below. Part of the secret that the guild of teachers don't let the populace know is that the teachers actually don't control these languages. In the States, most of the Hebrew teachers in seminaries don't control Hebrew, and certainly not Greek. And it's something that grew in me just a few years ago. I realized, here I am, I've got the name of a Christian scholar, and yet, I said, what was I doing? Here it was my calling, and I wasn't even fulfilling my calling, so I'm not preaching to others that isn't also preaching to me. It dawned on me that, you know, 30 years had gone on. I started learning Greek, I did, but I only went about that far, and I just let the water roll under the bridge for about 30 years. And then the Lord was working in me, because things happen at different times in different ways, and I realized I wasn't really taking seriously my own calling, that if I was going to take seriously as a Christian scholar and believe that this is God's word for me and my life is devoted to this, then I had to take it seriously and had to start respecting it as well. That's why I greeted you in both Hebrew and Greek at the beginning of this little message. Because it's hard. And for my application, I'm having to struggle. David Biven and I, we sometimes laugh at each other, those of you that know David. Someone was in the car with us. We were speaking a little bit of Greek. And they were saying, "Oh, wow, you're doing so well." And we just had to laugh. We said, it's tragic. And David said, "You know, why didn't I do this 40 years ago?" Some of you are young, and if the Lord is calling you into a ministry with using God's word, then I would ask you to think of what it means to respect it, to respect God's word, to the point where it's life-giving and it demands your all. It takes all of your attention, and you want to get inside of God's word to the texture and the flavor and the warp and woof, the weave of what we're reading, to feel the ins and the outs of it. Sometimes it will actually help you in interpreting things, but it will always help you in feeling what the original authors were feeling, and some people in the church need that. So if you've been called into that, then honor that calling and honor that devotion to the word, and let the word have the honor, the respect that it deserves. So today, where does that leave us as we go our way? Well, I would just say, after hearing a word like this, pray a little prayer in your heart and say, "Lord, teach me the respect. Let me show some love to someone that I may not have shown love to. Let me respect someone that I may not have." Now, I'm speaking to myself. I'm the guy from the 60s that's having to learn how to respect old people, and now it's self-fulfilling, but the point is that God works. If you ever notice, he always works too slow. But anyway, God works slowly, and by his Spirit, he actually opens up, and he wants to build flowers. He wants to put good things in us, and it's a long, slow process, and one of the ways to do it is as he teaches us respect one for another, Jew for Gentile, Gentile for Jew, poor for rich, rich for poor, student for worker, for high society politician to day laborer, whatever your calling in life, the Holy Spirit would bless us with a respect one for another in the Lord. Amen. I thought about a song, and I'm just waiting to hear what Liz is going to do because I haven't a clue.
What was the song you thought of?
I don't know. If you can't think of a song,
I've got
then
one.
All right. All right. I'll let you know if it was the one I thought might happen. Go.
Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. That I might not sin, that I might not sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee.
all stand. Father, we thank you that you've spoken to us about respect from your word. And Lord, how we need to show no respect of person in this day and age when there's so many natural reasons of nationalistic and political and sociological reasons to show favoritism and respect for those that might not be like us, that might not have the same color of skin, that might not have the same language, the culture is different. Lord, thank you that you work in each one of our hearts and lives to honor that image of God in each one of your creation. Thank you, Lord, that we have people here this morning from every continent practically, and they're all a part of the family of God, young and old, rich and poor. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us, and Lord, help us more than ever before to honor your word in all the many ways that we can do that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you speak daily in a fresh way from your word to our hearts. And Lord, we pray at this moment that if there are any here who have not yet made you Lord of their lives, Lord, they'll take this opportunity to call on you, who is truth and light and life and salvation. We pray that they'll call on you and receive you as Lord and Savior, because you're faithful to forgive all past sin. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, for any of us who have wounds and injuries, physical, mental, spiritual, that are carrying around baggage that should be left at the foot of the cross, Lord, we pray that you'll heal and that the balm of Gilead would be effective in each one of our lives today. Thank you, Father, for your goodness to us, for your mercy, which is everlasting and everlasting. I pray these things in Jesus' name, for your glory, and everyone said, amen. Greet some new people. Greet someone next to you. Go in peace. Amen.